Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we're always talking about making things better, faster, cheaper, and more creative, but today we're going to look at something that can really help with that.
We are, and you know, it might not sound the most exciting, but stick with us.
Yeah, today's Deep Dive is all about mold design standardization.
That's right.
And I know when people hear standardization, sometimes they kind of get a little like, oh, no. Like, are we going to lose creativity?
Yeah.
Are we all just going to do the same thing?
Right.
But actually, what we're going to find out today is that standardization can actually boost your creativity, and it can also save you a lot of money.
Absolutely. And I think one of the big fears is that with standardization, you end up with cookie cutter designs.
Right.
And everybody's doing the same thing, but that's not really the goal here.
Yeah.
The goal is to have a solid foundation that you can then build upon.
Yeah. So it's almost like you have that base already there, and then you can add your creativity on top of that.
Yeah. And you know, you think about it, like if you had to design every single component of a mold from scratch every single time.
Oh my gosh.
It would just take forever.
It would be so much time.
So that's where standardization comes in.
Yeah. So can you give me like a real world example?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a company like Toyota, you know, they produce millions of vehicles.
Right.
And they have remarkable consistency and quality. And a big part of that is because they standardize parts and processes.
So they're not like reinventing the wheel every time they're making a new car. They're using parts.
Exactly.
That they know work.
Right. And they've already been tested and refined. And so they know they're going to be reliable. And that also allows them to streamline production, reduce costs, and maintain that high level of quality.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But the fascinating thing is this doesn't stifle their innovation.
Right.
It actually fuels it.
So you're saying that by having those standardized parts, it actually frees up their designers to be more creative.
Exactly, because they're not bogged down with reinventing the wheel for every new model.
Right.
They can build upon that solid standardized foundation, and they can really focus their energy on developing, you know, the truly groundbreaking features and technologies.
Yeah, so it's like it frees up their time so they can focus on the really creative stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. So we see how it can be a time saver, but what about saving money? How does that work?
Well, for starters, think about bulk purchasing.
Okay.
So when you're buying standard mold frames in bulk, you can negotiate much better prices with suppliers.
Right.
Compared to ordering custom-made frames every time. So we're talking potential savings of 20 to 30%. Right off the bat.
Wow, it's a lot.
Just on the frames alone.
Yeah.
And then you think about all the other components that go into a mold. You know, it's like grocery shopping. When you buy in bulk, you almost always get a lower price per unit.
Yeah, that's so true.
Same principle applies here. So imagine getting a 30% discount on things like guide pins and sleeves just because you're buying in larger quantities.
I mean, those numbers are pretty hard to ignore.
But what about working together as a team? I mean, I could see how some people might say, well, you know, if everybody's using the same standardized parts and processes, you know, are we going to be able to work together effectively?
Well, actually, it helps teamwork because it's like everybody's speaking the same design language.
Okay.
And so it minimizes miscommunications and allows for seamless knowledge sharing.
So it's kind of like you're all on the same page from the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like having a universal design dictionary that everyone understands.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And that shared understanding means that teams can work together more efficiently, integrate design seamlessly, and troubleshoot problems much more effectively.
So it sounds like, so far, standardization can actually be a really good thing.
Yeah.
It can save time, save money, improve teamwork. But now I'm thinking about quality control.
Right.
Like, what happens to quality control when you're using all these standardized parts?
That's a great question, and I think it's a valid concern.
Yeah.
But in reality, standardized components often have higher reliability. Yeah, because they've undergone rigorous testing and they have a proven track record across various designs.
So it's not like they're just using like the cheapest generic parts. It's like they're using parts that they know have already been tested and work.
And they've demonstrated their worth.
Okay.
And so it's you're opting for a higher level of confidence and predictability by choosing those components.
Yeah. It's like if I'm going to go out to eat, you know, I might go to the same restaurant.
Right.
That I know I like.
Exactly.
Instead of trying someplace brand new.
Precisely. Yeah. You're opting for that higher level of confidence and predictability.
Okay. So it sounds like we found that, you know, standardization can be a good thing for You know, keeping that quality control up there.
It can. And remember, standardization doesn't eliminate customization entirely.
Right.
It's about strategically choosing where to standardize and where to allow for those unique design flourishes.
So it's about finding that balance between standardization and that creativity.
Exactly. And there's another benefit we haven't even touched on yet, and that's maintenance.
Okay, tell me about maintenance.
So imagine you're troubleshooting a problem with a standardized mold.
Okay.
You already have a deep understanding of how it's structured and how all the components work together because you're working with familiar elements.
You're not trying to figure out something brand new. You've already seen this before.
Exactly. It's like having a blueprint for troubleshooting,
Right.
making it much easier to identify and fix issues quickly. And because you're using those proven components with predictable behavior, you can often anticipate potential problems before they even
So
arise.
you can stop those problems before they become big problems.
Exactly.
I like that.
And then there's inventory management.
Okay.
So with standardized specifications, you know exactly what parts you need and in what quantities.
Okay.
And this simplifies tracking, ordering, and storage. It just leads to a much more organized and efficient system.
So it really streamlines the whole operation.
It does from top to bottom. And what's really interesting is that standardization also has a profound impact on designers. It shifts their mindset from a blank slate approach to one of creative problem solving within constraints.
So you're saying that it actually can help them be more creative.
It's like that old saying, necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
When you have constraints, you're forced to think differently,
Yeah.
explore new possibilities within those limitations.
And, you know, sometimes I know for me, when I have too many options, it's almost harder to make a decision.
Absolutely.
So maybe having some of those constraints already in place helps you to narrow down your choices and make it easier to be creative.
Exactly. And, it can lead to some truly ingenious design solutions
Wow.
that might not have emerged otherwise.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there are a lot of benefits to mold design standardization.
There are.
But I'm wondering, are there companies out there that are doing this successfully? Like, are there real-world examples?
Yeah, absolutely. There are countless examples across various industries. One that comes to mind is Airbus.
Okay.
So they face a challenge with manufacturing efficiency across their multiple production sites.
And I can imagine, you know, making airplanes, that's got to be really complicated.
It's incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And so to tackle this, they adopted a platform-based approach to aircraft design.
Okay.
So they standardized major components and systems
Right here.
across different aircraft models.
So they're not designing every single airplane from scratch. They're
Exacto.
using parts that they know work.
Right. And they're still allowing for customization in areas like the cabin layout and engine options,
Okay.
but the core structure
Yeah.
is standardized.
So it's like Lego blocks.
Exactly. It is like building with Lego bricks, but on a much grander scale.
That's a great analogy.
And this approach has allowed them to streamline production, reduce costs, and improve overall efficiency, all while maintaining a high level of quality and customization.
So they're getting the best of both worlds.
They are.
They're getting that efficiency and the standardization,
Yeah.
but they're also able to still be creative.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've seen how it works for big companies, but you know, what about just the average person? Like, how could I use standardization in my life?
That's a great question. And, I think it's important to be able to apply these insights to our own lives, right?
Right.
So consider your own daily routine. Do you have a set sequence of steps that you follow each morning?
I mean, I do have a morning routine.
Yeah.
I never really thought of it as standardization, but I guess it is.
It is. And the reason it works is because it eliminates decision fatigue. You're not wasting precious mental energy trying to figure out what to do next. You're already in a flow state.
That's so true, because if I don't have my morning routine, I just feel all over the place. I
Exactly.
can't get anything done.
And that principle can be applied to so many areas of our lives. So think about your work habits. Could you benefit from standardizing certain tasks or processes?
Okay.
Like maybe creating templates for frequently used documents or setting aside specific times for focused work.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I
I
don't
like
know.
that.
It's about identifying those areas where structure and consistency will be most beneficial,
Right.
and it allows you to work smarter, not harder.
Okay, so this is all starting to make sense to me. I'm really starting to see the benefits of standardization.
Good.
But now I'm thinking, is there a downside? Is there such a thing as too much standardization?
Yeah, that's a really important question.
Yeah.
And like any powerful tool, standardization needs to be applied thoughtfully and strategically.
So you don't want to just like standardize everything?
No, it's about finding the right balance. Too much rigidity can stifle innovation.
Okay.
And it can make it difficult to adapt to changing circumstances.
So it's about finding that sweet spot between being standardized and being flexible.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's like finding that sweet spot between order and chaos.
Okay, I like that analogy a lot.
Good.
So how do you know when to standardize and when to be more flexible?
Well, one helpful framework is to think about tasks and processes in terms of their frequency.
And their impact on your overall goals.
Okay.
So tasks that are frequent and have a high impact on your goals are prime candidates for standardization.
Cool.
So these are the tasks that if you streamline them, they will free up significant time and energy and allow you to focus on the things that truly matter.
So for me, if I'm always like struggling with email,
right,
that would be a good thing to standardize.
Exactly.
Okay.
On the other hand, tasks that are infrequent or have a low impact on your overall goals might not need that same level of structure.
So it's about kind of picking and choosing what's going to benefit the most from being standardized.
Exactly. And it's about prioritizing your efforts and focusing on the areas where standardization will make the biggest difference.
That makes sense.
And it's also important to remember that standardization is not a one-time event.
Right.
It's an ongoing process of evaluation, refinement, and adaptation.
So you try it out.
Yeah.
You see if it works, and if it doesn't, you adjust it.
Exactly. Okay. The key is to embrace a mindset of continuous improvement, constantly seeking ways to optimize your systems and processes.
Okay, well, this has been a really, really helpful conversation.
Good. I'm glad.
We've learned a lot about mold design standardization and how it can really transform our businesses and even our personal lives.
And you know, we've only just scratched the surface.
I know, there's so much more to talk about.
There's a lot more to learn and explore.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive into mold design standardization with some final thoughts and key takeaways.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's like, you know, you're kind of forced to work within those limitations and come up with something new.
Yeah, it's like a fun challenge.
It is.
Okay, so we've seen that it works in theory,
yeah,
but are there companies that are really doing this successfully out in the real world?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are tons of examples across all kinds of industries.
Mm-hmm.
One that comes to mind is Airbus. And you know, they had this challenge with manufacturing efficiency across their multiple production sites.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that.
Trying to keep all of that,
yeah,
you know, coordinated is incredibly complex.
Yeah, incredibly.
Yeah. So to tackle this, they adopted a platform-based approach to aircraft design.
Okay. What does that mean?
So they standardized the major components and systems across different aircraft models.
So they're not like redesigning a whole new plane every time.
Exactly. Right? And they're still allowing for some customization in areas like, you know, the cabin layout and engine options.
Okay.
But that core structure is standardized.
So it's kind of like Lego blocks again?
Exactly. It is like building with Lego bricks, but on a much grander scale.
I love that.
Yeah. And that approach has allowed them to streamline production, reduce costs, improve overall efficiency, all while maintaining a high level of quality and customization.
So they're getting the best of both worlds.
They are, yeah.
Okay, so we've seen how these big companies are using it. But how could someone like me use it, like, in my everyday life?
Well, you know, I think it's always good to be able to take these concepts and apply them to our personal lives.
Right.
So, you know, consider your daily routine.
Okay.
Do you have a set sequence of steps that you follow each morning?
I mean, I do, yeah.
Okay.
I never really thought about it as standardization, but I guess it kind of is.
It is. And you know, the reason it works is because it eliminates that decision fatigue.
Right.
So you're not wasting, you know, your precious mental energy trying to figure out what to do next. You know, you're already in a flow state.
That's so true, because like if I don't have my morning routine, I don't get anything done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can apply that principle to so many areas of our lives.
Right.
So, you know, think about your work habits.
Yeah.
Could you benefit from standardizing, you know, certain tasks or processes, like maybe creating templates for, you know, documents that you use frequently?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or setting aside specific times for, you know, focused work.
I like that.
Yeah, it's about identifying those areas where structure and consistency will be most beneficial.
Right.
And it allows you to work smarter, not harder.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm really starting to see the benefits of this and how I can use it.
Good.
But is there ever a time when standardization is not a good thing? Like, is there such a thing as too much standardization?
Yeah, I mean that's a really important question, and like any powerful tool, standardization needs to be applied thoughtfully and strategically.
So you don't want to just go standardize everything.
No, exactly. It's about finding that right balance. Too much rigidity can stifle innovation, and it can make it difficult to adapt to changing circumstances.
So how do you know when to standardize and when not to?
Well, one helpful framework is to think about, tasks and processes in terms of their frequency and their impact on your overall goals. So tasks that are frequent and have a high impact on your goals, those are prime candidates for standardization.
Okay, so like that email example we talked about.
Exactly.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
And on the other hand, tasks that are infrequent or have a low impact on your overall goals,
Yeah.
they might not need that same level of structure.
Okay.
So it's about, prioritizing your efforts and focusing on the areas where standardization will make the biggest difference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's also important to remember that standardization is not a one-time event.
Right.
It's an ongoing process of evaluation, refinement, and adaptation.
So you kind of have to keep tweaking it
Exactly.
to make sure that it's still working.
Yeah. The key is to embrace a mindset of continuous improvement. Constantly seeking ways to optimize your systems and processes.
Okay, well, this has been incredibly helpful.
I'm glad.
I'm really starting to see how I can use standardization
Good.
to, benefit my work and my life.
Excellent.
Well, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive into mold design standardization with some final thoughts and key takeaways. All right, we are back. And,
Yeah.
we've been talking all about standardization, how it can really help us in so many different areas.
Yeah, it really can, it can make things so much smoother.
And, I think a lot of people might be listening and thinking, okay, this all sounds great, but where do I even start?
Well, one of the best places to start is just to think about a task that you do really frequently that just always feels more chaotic than it should.
Like what?
Well, it could be something like email,
Oh, yeah. Email is a good one.
project planning, even packing your suitcase.
Okay. Yeah. Those are all things that I struggle with.
Yeah, and so the key is to break it down. What are the essential elements? What steps can you predetermine? Can you create a checklist, a template, even just like a mental model to streamline things?
So it's not about being perfect. It's just about like creating some sort of system.
Exactly. Yeah, find some order in the chaos.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and don't aim for perfection right away. Just start small experiments, see what works, and adjust as you go. You'll be amazed at how these small tweaks can make a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice because sometimes it feels so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I have to change everything.
Right.
But if you just start with one small thing,
Yeah, just one little
yeah,
thing.
you can build from there.
And you can build momentum. Exactly.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. I've learned so much about standardization
And glad.
and how it can really benefit all of us.
Yeah, me too.
And I hope our listeners have too.
I hope
And
so.
until next time, keep
Okay.
exploring, keep learning, and remember, sometimes a little structure can unleash a whole lot of creativity.
Absolutely.